Welcome back to the program. Thanks for being with us today. Joining us is Chris Gildon of the Republican Party, who serves as a state senator in Washington's 25th legislative district. Chris, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, hot off the presses, people were wondering if an income tax would come to the state of Washington. And Bob Ferguson just said that he throws his support behind an income tax on millionaires, which would be, of course, be a seismic shift in Washington's tax code. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think he rightfully said that if a millionaire's tax, as he outlined today, were to take effect, it would have no impact on the current budget shortfall, right? Because the big problem that the legislature has in with the budget this year is in 2026 and in 2027 for a total of about $1.5 billion. And then by the time you get out to the four-year outlook, it's about $4.3 billion is the problem that we're trying to solve. So this millionaire tax wouldn't have any effect on that, first of all. But I think the effect that it would have is probably driving a lot of millionaires out of our state. You know, I think Joe Wynn, who's the director of commerce, he says it all the time. And I think he's right when he says it is, if you want to tax rich people, you got to have rich people to tax. And whenever we're implementing policies that, you know, increase their tax burden, these people are highly affluent, they're highly mobile, and they can make choices to live in Washington state or to live elsewhere.
So in this, many people believe that this is kind of just, you have to take these incremental steps. And this is the Democrats' kind of first incremental step to introduce an income tax. Of course, now it's getting introduced as a millionaire's tax. But of course, you know, Democrats love their taxes. And so we've got to, it's not too far fetched to believe that, you know, not too far out in the future, this will, that millionaire's tax will then be, you know, people who make 500,000, then 300,000. Do you see it that way?
Oh, absolutely. And I see that the Democrat Party in Washington state is very patient. And they're very happy to take one bite out of the apple at a time. And if it starts at $1 million and, like you said, drops down over time, I think that they're very happy to let that play out, because their ultimate goal is just an income tax that applies to everyone. I think we all know that.
Yeah. The thing that just, man, I tell you, it's Christmas time. I don't want to get all grinchy and mean. But I tell you, it just chaps my eye because, you know, Ferguson's comment today around this, he says, you know, we're facing an affordability crisis. It's time to change our state's outdated upside down tax system to serve the needs of Washington today. We need to make our tax system more fair, right? That is their, gosh, if I had a nickel every time I heard that, man, tell you what, I'd get my own state in concat tax against me. But the thing that just boggles my mind, and I'm wondering, Chris, if you talk about this and you and your fellow colleagues, the Republicans and the independents and the moderate Dems, to say, can you guys stop talking like this? Because there's always this talk about we got to be fair and you got to pay your fair share. But the flip side of that, it never comes of like, hey, we're going to decrease then taxes for, let's say, the middle class. Right. It's always like, exactly, we're just going to take more. Right. And so what good is it? I mean, it's like this thing that, oh yeah, we just feel good because, you know, we're making people pay their fair share, but it doesn't really do anything towards really lessening the burden for the middle class in our state. I just don't understand why there's not more attention paid to that.
Well, and I just go back in history. 1 year ago, this month, we were facing a budget shortfall, and the mantra from the Democrat Socialist in Olympia was, we've got to tax the rich, make the rich pay their fair share, we're so regressive, all of that kind of stuff. After session ended, We ended up with $12 billion in new taxes being levied against people in Washington state, none of which affected wealthy people. It all fell on the backs of working class Washingtonians, people just trying to make ends meet, people who are already struggling with affordability. And it was the Democrats and the socialists and the progressives in Olympia that passed those bills. And it was Governor Ferguson that signed it into law. And so now to hear them talk about, you know, regressivity and affordability and the affordability crisis. Well, dude, you were the ones that made the affordability crisis. And then the other thing they like to do is they like to blame the federal government for all of our woes. They talk about the talk of tariffs and H.R. 1, the big, beautiful bill, and the effects that it has on our economy. And certainly it does have effects. You cannot, you know, discount the effects that it has. But what they never like to talk about is the $12 billion in taxes that they themselves just passed. They never want to talk about the $750 million of cuts to state Medicaid that they passed before H.R. 1 ever existed. And they never want to talk about the exploding level of tort payouts that we are liable for because of bad behavior on the behalf of state employees. They never want to talk about the things that are, you know, within their control, but they always like to blame the federal government. But I just think, yes, things the federal government has done are going to have economic impacts, but also things that have been done in our state will also have economic impacts. And you just have to tell the whole story and be truthful.
Well, I just don't understand, I mean, quite honestly, how they can sleep okay at night. I'm not even kidding. Like, the duplicity is beyond it. Their hearts must be so calloused that they just don't see the duplicity. For instance, okay, this new budget that just passed today, a $79 billion operating budget, okay, where you know, Ferguson redirected $570 million in the Climate Commitment Act money to be able to, you know, make this budget work. Now, I mean, this is where it gets good. I mean, it gets really good here, Chris. And if you believe, and I've heard this, I'm from Seattle. I live here my whole life. And I've heard ad nauseum of the climate crisis, and that I'm like, I have four kids and I'm putting my kids in peril, in danger. They will die in the next 20 or 30 years if we don't course correct immediately. And I've been listening to that for 20 years. And here, if you really believe that, right, if you really believe, like they've said, and now when push comes to shove, they're like, oh, you know what? We're actually just going to take this quote unquote Climate Commitment Act money and balance the budget because, you know, apparently it's really not a crisis after all.
Well, and if you get down to the bottom of it, those Climate Commitment Act dollars, which the state's taken in billions of dollars already, if you dig into the details and you see how much is actually being used for things that impact the climate, you would be so surprised. Most of that goes to planning. It goes to hiring consultants, things that have no impact on the climate whatsoever. But that taking that Climate Commitment Act money and using that to fund the working families tax credit, that was actually a Republican idea that was in the budget that I wrote last year, the Save Washington budget, that fully funded government, included no cuts to services, and included no tax increases. I tell you what, in hindsight, that Save Washington budget sure does look good to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not like poo-pooing that money going towards what you're talking about, the working families, but my goodness, I mean, if again, do you see the duplicity? Is this something that A plus B equals C, right? Like, hello, if our planet is actually going to implode and my kids are in danger in the next 20 years, why would I then divert all this climate money?
Well, the next time they want to increase taxes for climate, you know, then you'll start hearing about how bad the climate is again. I guess until then, we're okay.
Okay. Well, here's the other question, Chris. Talking to Chris Gildon, state senator out of Puyallup. $79 billion, right? We're also watching what's happening in Minnesota with what some are calling $18 billion of fraud. We know recently in King County, just 3% of programs were looked at. And auditor found, just in looking at 3%, found some unbelievable waste and fraud that they're looking at right now. Who knows if anything comes of it, but it seems like at some point we're the Minnesota shoe is going to drop. It needs to drop. I've talked to many people who we may not see something parallel to Minnesota because those are some unique characteristics that are happening there. But we know what happened during COVID, right? We know that there is unbelievable fraud and waste. When are taxpayers going to get their money back of all this waste and fraud?
Yeah, you know, the interesting thing is back in 2015, our state budget was about $38 billion. Now in 2025, the governor's proposal is $79 billion. That is a 2x, you know, increase. But interestingly enough, one of the agencies that the majority party cut funding from just last year to achieve savings was the state auditor's office. And I think that's exactly the opposite of what we should be doing. I think if there's one agency that we should be investing in, it is the auditor that can go through and look for those savings and efficiencies and look for the waste and the fraud. But whenever you cut funding to their agency, I think it really hampers our ability to dig in deep and do that analysis that you're talking about, which one of the proposals that I've gotten behind this year is a proposal to fund them to a level where they can do an audit of 20% of the state agencies every year, right? So over the period of time, you know, you're going to have every agency is going to have a full performance audit done on them. And I think, you know, it may cost a little bit of money to do that, but I think the savings that you would achieve and the fraud that you would prevent far outweigh the cost of actually doing the audit.
I mean, this goes back to what we were talking about earlier, just this duplicity that, again, I don't know how some folks can literally sleep at night knowing how duplicitous they are. But when you think about, you know, the affordability issue, right? I mean, that is Seattle Times. They just wrote a column yesterday that affordability, this is what Democrats are running on. This is how they won in November here across the country. Affordability, mm-hmm. affordability, affordability, which we probably would all agree with that, right? But here's the thing. When we have King, you know, I referenced King County and the fraud and waste that was exposed and the auditor brought up. We're seeing other things across the country, Minnesota, other places. Yet it's crazy to me that there's really no, I guess, uprising, right? Let's just take King County. Why is the King County Council just kind of poo-pooing this whole thing? Why was Claudia Balducci, Germay Zalazy? Why was, you know, some of these Rod Dembowski? If affordability is the issue, and we know that we have hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars that are getting wasted, would not the first thing you do is say, we've got to get our house in order? Because if in my family budget, right, if we're dealing with massive stress and affordability issues, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to get our house in order. Anything else is incoherent and lacks any sort of common sense. So why would there not be any sort of uprising when it comes to let's get our house in order?
I think one reason for that is just that people aren't paying attention to state level politics, right? It's like the flyover land of politics. People know their city council. They hear a lot about the federal government, but I don't think a lot of people focus on the state government, even though it does have a huge impact on their lives. As an example, I'll just put out, as of, I think it was October 1st, when the sales tax on services took effect, there was an article in the Seattle Times that said business owners are caught off guard by this new tax that they had no idea was even a thing. And my first reaction was, yeah, it's because the news media has been derelict in their duties of reporting this. Why did the news media not report this when the bill was being you know, negotiated and discussed in Olympia before it passed. And they only started publicizing it when this thing was taking effect. I think we've got a long way to go with getting our media to actually be balanced in this state.
Talking to Chris Gildon, state senator out of Puyallup. This is Tim Gatos in for Jason Rance today. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.